achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to that which lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I ask you, is it well with your soul? Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, to sing like that. You know, friends, someday we'll get to. Some of you can already, I know, but this voice has to wait for a while, evidently, because when I sing, most people leave, I think. But I'd love to be able to sing like that. But it's sure a blessing to listen to heavenly music, isn't it? Now what? Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable to you. Oh Jesus, my rock, my salvation. Amen. Now what? Probably wondering, what kind of a title is that? Now what? What prompted that? Well, that's what my sermon is about, to tell you what prompted that. And it actually was triggered last Sabbath evening, right here in this sanctuary, watching the last of the Great Reset with Pastor John Bradshaw. He shared his testimony, and that as it came to an end, he actually used those words, now what? And I want to expand a little bit on that, now what? What's next? What do we do? We've just gone through a month-long, really, Sabbath high, if you will. And it's good to get back into our regular routines. It's good to take a breath and go, okay. It was bittersweet, amen? It was over. There's some sadness in that. But that time that we somehow cherish so much, and for some of us it's so hard to get away to go to meetings like that. It's a struggle that we all go through. I know. I'm not the only one. But I want to focus on the flame that was ignited in each of us. Some of it for some of us for the first time, maybe. Some of us was a rekindling of that flame. And I want to share this because I don't want to happen what I'm going to share with you right now, what happened to me, not 10 years ago, not 30 years ago, but more like 52 years ago, give or take a couple of years, because I don't remember exactly. But I was in high school, and I was – busy like most students, I guess. And then I was in a Christian Seventh-day Adventist high school, an academy. The academy was Mountain View Union Academy, right there in the same little town as the Pacific Press, Mountain View, California. And it was time for a week of prayer. Now, in this week of prayer, the teachers must have been asked to lighten our loads, because I remember that for some reason, I guess because I didn't like heavy loads anyway. And the fact that we were going to get a lighter load probably appealed to me. Somehow it was in my memory. And that was so we could spend more time in the Word of God, because week of prayer was next week. And I remember doing just that, spending time in God's Word, I remember a high time with the Lord. But sometime later, it dawned on me that flame that was ignited during that week of prayer had gone out. And I thought, wonder why. It never dawned on me then until, well, now I'm going to say from that time it was probably closer to 26 years later. And by the way, that would be about, that time was about 28 years ago. So you can kind of get the time. And the reason why it came to me then was I was back in God's Word. I was back reading God's Word. And I experienced that same flame. And the Holy Spirit brought back to me that recollection. And I thought, wow, okay. Well, many of us experienced that in the last month. Not only were the message encouraging, like I said, for some of us it was review, but it ignited a flame within us that, yes, Jesus loves us and His coming is soon. The fellowship that we enjoyed here afterwards, people didn't want to go home. You know what? If you like that, I want you to set your goals, nothing down here, but in heaven. Because we'll get to do that forever. We won't have to stop. We won't have to go home. We won't have to part. Many of you go from this area, even down to the Northern California camp meeting in Redwood. The last night we sing a song every year. Who can tell me what that song is? Never Part Again. Well, the Great Reset is over. The evangelistic series I'm referring to. The Great Reset in this evangelistic series, Pastor John pointed out, was the reset of our own lives. The reset of the knowledge of God. Reset our devotion to Him. So, there's a tendency to relax and let things go back to normal. I say fight that. Keep doing what we were doing. Now, we don't come here every, 4 days. Sometimes it was, some weeks it was 5 days out of the week. But I encourage you to look for ways that you can spend time with Jesus outside of your regular worship time. You know, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. Many of us in this group already are coming to prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is a great way to keep that flame alive. Bible studies with others. Another great way. Maybe you know somebody that has asked you about some questions about the Bible. You know, let that be a divine appointment. Go and ask that person. Would you? You asked me one day about something in the Bible. Would you like to study the Bible? I'd be willing to study with you. And if you're not comfortable, there's many of us right here that would sit with you and help you through that process. It's so easy. It's fun. You'll enjoy it. This is not a new dilemma of being on fire for the Lord and that flame going out. It has happened to humans since day one. The children of Israel, their lives is full of examples of that. And I want to share just, not from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. If you have your Bibles with you, open them to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to look at a couple, two or three stories briefly of those churches, those seven churches, but three of them in particular. In chapter 2, starting with verse 1, the Bible says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Now just a little review here. These are the words of Jesus. If you have a red-lettered Bible, your Bible will have red letters there. Now, back in chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band." This is Jesus. This is the description of Jesus. This is who is talking. And he says, "I know," verse 2, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Wow. So far, so good, right? I mean, if you were saying that about our church, wouldn't we be kind of just, all right? But wait, look at verse 4. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Whoa. Verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." Let's go to another story. I want to focus on that some more, but let's go to chapter 3. This is Sardis. Now, Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things say he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." Well, what's that mean? Okay, they're alive, but they're dead spiritually. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." Okay, there was still evidently some good things that remained. Strengthen those. "They are ready to die." They're spiritually weak, in other words. "For I have not found your works perfect before God." There were some problems there. So he goes on to say, "Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent." In both of these, Jesus says, look back. How did you fall in love with me? Do that again. Repent. Return. And now one more. This brings it down to our day and age. Laodicea, in the last part of chapter 3, starting with verse 14. "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I'm going to stop just for a minute. You know, we've known that this is pointing to the last day church, our church. These people, I mean, you look around, we're wealthy. I don't know how many of you have been to a third world country. Man, we're wealthy. We have need of nothing. We got the truth. Let me just share something with you about this that we may have overlooked before. Yeah, we're rich, we've become wealthy, we have need of nothing, and we don't know that we're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's spiritually talking. We're spiritually wealthy as Seventh-day Adventists. We have truth beyond most Christian beliefs out there. We're very wealthy, but we spiritually are missing it. We should be so on fire for the Lord that nobody would, people would be knowing that we've got something that they want. And I know that does happen because there are people in this very church that's happened to. So, like I said, I'm preaching to the choir, but I just follow me on this because this is heavy on my heart because I was raised in the Adventist church, and all through the 12 years of Christian education, except for that one or two times in weaker prayers, I never got it. Never. How can that happen? Where's our focus? Oh yeah, we're living in a world, there's things we got to do, but how important is it to know Jesus and talk to him and talk about him and have him in our family worship? And I mean, wow. Let's turn back at page or two to chapter two again, and I want to focus on Sardis a little bit more, starting with back with chapter two. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and not become weary. We'll stop there for a minute. Okay, so these Christians are doing it right. That's high marks. That's high compliments. They're doing it right. And then you read the next line, and it says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have what? Lost your first love? In other words, you're just going through the motions? How can a church just go through the motions and fall out of love with him? Oh. You know what? I believe it's the devil's biggest cannon of war against the church is laziness. Christian laziness. We get so comfortable because we're in the right church on the right day, doing the right things, listening to the right everything. You follow what I'm saying here? How can we make a change? I'll tell you. Be determined. Be diligent. Be faithful. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11:6. Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, some of your Bibles will say earnestly, to seek him. Diligently. Earnestly. Diligent is characterized by steady earnest. Now, steady earnest means you're earnest without stopping, right? And energetic. It's an energetic effort. That's what diligence is. Picture being diligent in God's word. And add that aspect, an energetic effort. Do you have that mindset when you sit down and read God's word? Are you excited to open his word in your own special time with him? Is it hard to put down the Bible like some book that you read that just you just can't set it down? You know, it hasn't always been that way for me. As a matter of fact, as I have shared previously, when I came back to the Lord, it was hard. It was hard. I hadn't the mindset to read God's word every day yet. It didn't even dawn on me that's what I should be doing. Yeah. Went right over my head. But I had struggled with drugs so long. I remember saying to the Lord, what's making this time any different? And in that still small voice, I heard, Kelly, if you spend time with me every day, I'll keep you from doing drugs. Well, that was 28 years ago. He kept his promise. And I kept mine. I've been in his word every day, but I want to tell you, friends, even though at this point I had been back to church for over a year, going every week, to open God's word and read it was hard. Now, maybe some of you have experienced that. Going to church and the idea of opening your Bible during the week. TV is more important. Stuff on the internet. Maybe a book that you're engrossed in. I don't know. The devil has a lot of... They can be good things. And most of the time they are very good things. But there's a lot of us... They're going to be outside the New Jerusalem because our attention was for other things other than the importance of a relationship with him. Plain and simple. We need to fall in love with Jesus, and that only happens if you're spending some quality time in his holy word, if you're looking for opportunities to share what you know about Jesus with someone else. Another great story is found in Luke 10. If you have your Bibles still open, just flip back a few a few chapters to Luke. The 10th chapter, a story we all know really well. I just love to underline this one in my Bible. The whole passage is underlined. And starting with verse 38, this is Mary and Martha. One of the times that Jesus was there. And now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, if you just stop and think about that for a minute, you think, yeah, Martha's in there preparing a nice dinner for Jesus, and what? She's got to do it alone. He would think, yeah, hello, Jesus, give her a push. Whoa. This is what Jesus says. And he answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Whoa. Did you expect that? Oh, yeah, we've heard the story before. No, I mean, really. Put yourself there. Wow, there's a lot in this story. There's a lot. Martha was doing a very good thing. Martha was serving the Lord. You could apply that to the work of the church. People can be so engrossed in the work of the church that they're not taking the time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Fall in love with him. Get to really know him. One thing is needed. Wow. How would you like to hear Jesus say to you that only one thing is needed? By the way, he does right here. The same words are to us, to you and I. There's only one thing that's needed. That one thing is to fall in love with Jesus, to sit at his feet, to take in his words to your heart daily. I want to share with you one more text, and then I'm going to share with you some quotes from Steps to Christ. Turn a few pages over to John, the 15th chapter. And these two texts really encapsulate what Jesus wants. It's about the vine, being attached to the vine. Jesus is the vine. It's beautiful, beautiful. Here's what the Bible says. Starting with verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you." Now, get this. He's the plant. He's the vine. We're just branches. He wants us to abide in him, be attached to him. But look, it goes both ways. "Abide in me, and I in you." He is in us. "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in him, in me." He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. We can't do anything." In Desire of Ages, page 677, She says, abiding in Christ means a constant receiving of His Spirit, a life of unreserved surrender to His service. Wow. Let me read that again. Abiding in Christ means a constant receiving of His Spirit, a life of unreserved surrender to His service. Being involved, working for people, helping them, visiting them in prison, giving food to the homeless. It just goes on. There's a long list. That's all how we abide in Christ. That's really where the tires hit the road. But they don't mean a thing unless we're sitting at the feet of Jesus first. The channel of communication must be open continually between man and his God. As the vine branch constantly draws the sap from the living vine, so are we to cling to Jesus and receive Him, receive from Him by faith the strength and perfection of His own character. Now, I want to share with you some quotes that help shine light on this relationship, that shine light on the importance of being connected. This is from page 69, from the chapter called Growing Up in Christ. She says, "You are just as dependent upon Christ in order to live a holy life as is the branch upon the parent stock for growth and fruitfulness. Apart from Him, you have no life. You have no power to resist temptation or to grow in grace and holiness. Jesus says, without Me, you can do nothing. Our growth in grace, our joy, our usefulness, all depend upon our union with Christ. It is by communion with Him daily, hourly, by abiding in Him that we are to grow in grace. He is not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. It is Christ first and last and always. He is to be with us not only at the beginning and the end of our course, but every step of the way. Do you ask, how am I to abide in Christ in the same way as you received Him at first? As you have there received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." That's from Colossians 2:6. In other words, when you first fell in love with Jesus, maybe it was years ago, and that flame has gone out, rekindle it the same way. Look, think back. What was it that brought you into this close relationship with God? It was time in His Word, every day, continually. Continually sharing Him throughout the day, continually having Him on your mind, continually praying for maybe a friend or someone through the day as you're working. He's always there with you. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. This is a prayer. Listen to this. She says this on page 70. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your first work. Let your prayer be, and many of you know this, "Take me, O Lord, as holy Thine. I lay all my plans at Thy feet. Use me today in Thy service. Abide with me, and let all my work be wrought in Thee." This is a daily matter, my friends. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him. He's got divine appointments for you. Be ready. Be willing. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out or given up as His providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. This one comes from page 72. When Christ took human nature upon Him, He bound himself. It's attached humanity to Himself by a tie of love that, get this, can never be broken by any power save the choice of man, or accept the choice of man himself. Can you believe that? Believe it, friends. The only way you can break your tie with Jesus is by neglect, by laziness, by having something more important like television, the computer, what's on it, I don't care, whatever it is, a book, maybe even in a relationship with somebody that's drawing you away. Oh. I share these from the Steps of Christ because awesome little book. I have deacons at the end. As you leave today, they're going to give you a Steps of Christ. Many of you, maybe all of you, have one already. You're going to get another one. What I want you to do with this one, first of all, if you haven't read it, read it. And I'm asking you, when you read it, highlight everything that the Holy Spirit brings to you. Just pops out. To underline it. Highlight it. I like highlight it in different colors, but yellow is the nicest one because it's just does a good job. And then later, some other time you pick it up, you can just read through and read the highlighted ones. Awesome way. Now, if you already have one that's highlighted and everything, okay, this book I want you to give to somebody this week. Don't put it on the shelf. You can, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit wants you to give it to somebody 2 weeks from now. I just want you to be able to be ready to give it away to somebody, because there is a joy that comes in that too. And that is part of staying connected to Jesus, is sharing Jesus with someone. So, how do we get there? We surrender all. We're going to close today with a song that we're all very familiar with. We sing it a lot of times. As a matter of fact, I have chosen it as a closing song many times because I want us to get to that point. Because we need to surrender all. What are we surrendering? We're surrendering things that get in our way of Jesus. Quality time with Him. If you're willing to make a commitment and start adding, if you're already spending time with Jesus every day, adding something to what you're already doing. Friends, there's a quote in Philippians. Well, matter of fact, it's in your bulletin. Paul, we can all say this. We can all say this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Jesus Christ first possessed me. Yeah, you know, friends, we're on a journey. We never arrive until the day He takes us home. There's always room to grow. Matter of fact, after He takes us home, we have a whole eternity to grow. We never will arrive at growing in Christ. Hallelujah. If anybody says, I'm there, you know the devil's got him. Because there's always room to grow. So if you're willing to add some time, maybe you haven't done a daily worship where you're in his Bible every day. If you're willing to make that commitment, please stand with me and sing our closing song, I Surrender All.
Surrender all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I Jesus, I surrender, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me all, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior wholly thine, fill me with thy love and power, truly know that thou art mine, I surrender all, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame, oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to his name, I surrender.
Our Father in heaven, you have just seen the people commit and stand and surrender their hearts and their time. Lord, we just sang that we feel that flame. Father, I pray that you would help us each day to keep that flame from going out by spending that quality time with you. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.